Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Do you ever wonder about Vic Vaughn? I mean, he seems like such a decent guy.
Got to be a secret there, don't you think?
Why did you say that?
I don't know. It just seems like he's too nice.
We have lots of nice people here at WGN Radio.
We do? Is it a long list? No, I like Vic a lot. He just seems like... Well, there's just something about him. I don't know what it is.
He has his moments.
Oh, he does?
Well, yeah, because when I get here, you know, he's been by himself for many hours.
so he's like a mom or a dad at home with the kids all day. The other person gets home and they just need to talk.
They got a vent. Yeah. Got a vent. He lets it rip, let me tell you.
All right, well, good.
But he's a very nice guy.
He's a very nice guy.
A veteran, too, so.
Yes, a veteran. Mm-hmm.
We salute Vic.
Well, go ahead. I can't see him from here.
I salute him every morning.
He's off in the corner.
At 6:10, Dave Ennett's just back from the Lionel Richie concert last night.
not just back, but
all night long, baby.
All night long.
Oh, man. It was late night.
How was it?
It was good. It was good, Mayor. I mean, he's still rocking it. I mean, he was very entertaining.
Is he... How old is he? Michael, look that up for me. How old's Lionel Richie?
Let's see.
He's got to be 70-something.
He's 69.
Oh, okay, close.
He'll be 70 next week.
He looks great.
Yeah. Oh, he does look great. And it was funny. There was with the lights, there was a mosquito. I guess he hasn't performed in a lot of outdoor venues for the sound of it because he kept swatting at a bug that was flying around him. Really kind of annoyed him.
He didn't make it funny?
Oh, he did. Yeah. He did. Yeah. He was very funny. And he also didn't quite understand where he was. Or the concept that there are thousands of people that he can't see that are off on the lawn.
Oh.
So he referenced
stage
that.
Lights.
But he went back to it repeatedly, saying he really likes the idea that he gets applause in here, and then a few minutes later you get applause from out on the lawn.
You know, it's probably the first time he's been on stage. So
yeah.
How could he not have worked a venue like that before?
I mean, maybe he was just playing with the crowd. He also insisted he didn't really know where he was. He said they left Chicago and they went through all these towns and finally got someone in the front row to tell him that this was Highland Park. And so that became also a recurring theme that it was Lionel Richie in Highland Park.
Did he do any Commodore stuff?
Yeah, did a lot of Commodores.
Brick House?
Yeah.
Did he do Brick House?
Brick House, yep.
Yeah, buddy.
Got
dancing
everybody up
on the ceiling.
Not the Commodores.
But he did dancing on the ceiling. And he got everybody dancing best they could.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're in the hardcore late 70s, early 80s Commodores fan base, you probably had a hip replaced 20 minutes ago.
Could have been.
He performs a lot on American Idol when he's, they have him perform once in a while.
I tell you what, 69 ain't what 69 used to be. 69, you used to be out to pasture, man. 69, now you're just getting good.
Yeah. No, he was great. He was great. I think he's there again tonight.
Oh, two shows are already?
I think he's doing tonight also.
This is my love theme. This is the theme song for me. Crank this up, Joe. Yeah, I've already told you, I used to get off the school bus at my grandmother's house every time. That's right.
Yes.
And if this is playing, there's always a sign on the door that said, if Granny's house is rocking, don't come knocking. That's how I got into the Commodores.
Was her house brick?
Yeah, it's weird. It wasn't. I never understood that. 6:13. All right, we got a lot to do today, and Jonathan Taves will be on later. We're giving away that other trip to Prague. With the Blackhawks. Best thing in sports, Game 7 for the Stanley Cup tonight.
It should be great.
And the Blues and the Bruins will do that. We'll talk to Taves about that as well. The U.S. Open starts tomorrow. Steve Sands from the Golf Channel will be on later. Karen Conti is going to answer your legal questions on anything coming up at 6:40. As a matter of fact, we can take some calls and texts on that right now. At what's my number? 312-981-7200. Text in any legal questions you want us to ask Karen Conti. You going?
Did I'll come up with one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But did you tell Mary that we're doing golf picks?
I was just going to ask.
Yeah, U.S. Open picks today, Mary.
I'm really tired. I had a book club last night. I don't have time for this.
I bet that was nuts.
Oh, my gosh. They wouldn't leave. I'm like, I got to go to bed.
Dave's been up all night with Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
You're complaining about the book club.
We're both playing hurt today.
You're both going to be napping in your cars later?
I am.
No,
napping.
I don't nap in my car, Steve.
If it's raining, though, it's not good to nap in the car. You don't get any air because, you know.
You can put it all in your car napping tips on the WGN Radio website.
Not good.
Let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
All right, item number one. Sinclair, the company that almost bought WGN. Weren't we ruined once?
Yeah.
We didn't need that again.
Nope.
We escaped the news there. Sinclair now posting ads for a Springfield weatherman's job after the lead weatherman there, a guy named Joe Crane, criticized their code red demands. Now, this gets a little deep in the weeds, but Sinclair has these mandatory reads that television stations around the country have to do, including their nightly terrorism desk. And Joe Crane, who, did you tell me, college roommate, Steve?
Yes, I was his roommate when I was in college, yes.
All right, Joe Crane was forced to do what?
He was forced to, they were all forced there at the station to read something called Code Red Weather Alert. So on a day when there was just the possibility of severe weather somewhere in the 13-plus county listening viewing area, if there was a chance for thunderstorms, that was a Code Red day. And he came on and basically they were having a little banter on their little morning show saying, listen, this is... There could be a place in the area where there's not storms today. All storms are different. This is something the National Weather Service deals with on an individual basis. We don't want to scare you. This was the viewership down there. There were thousands of calls and complaints before he even came on the air to do this, to talk about this.
So he tried to work with this as much as he could. He tried to explain it in a manner that would not... You know, trash the company's code red forced situation. And then finally on June 5th, he'd had enough.
Yeah, he came on and said, listen, we've heard your complaints. We see your complaints, but this is something that the company is making us do.
Several prominent advertisers have pulled their commercials from the station since this happened where Joe Crane was told don't come to work anymore. Now, has he officially been fired?
They have posted the job openings, and he's not been back on the air.
Okay, but as of right now, there's no formal separation.
I don't think they're either side's allowed to talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, I don't know him. You know him. Good guy.
He's a great guy. He's one of the best guys. He's one of my best friends. Stand-up guy. I've known him for years. Would follow him into battle.
Yeah. And here's the thing. When Sam Zell came in here with his band of numbnuts and almost destroyed this place. I know exactly how Joe Crane felt, and I was very vocal about it here. So I respect what he did because he was taking the viewer's side, tried to work with the company. The company wouldn't work with him. Now, I will say Sinclair blew up their deal to buy this entire company. So if you're a Joe Crane fan, like most people are, I don't see them bending on this. Because they've lost money trying to prove they're right or they're the boss before. And I've always maintained this. Look, you own it. It's your toy. Play with it any way you want. But it doesn't mean I have to be a part of it. And I certainly hope somebody in Springfield is smart enough to hire Joe Crane.
Don't we have another employee here who stood up to Sinclair on the air in another market?
We do. Yeah.
Yes, Lauren.
Lauren Lapka and one other reporter
in
Oregon refused to do the forced read thing at a TV station in Oregon and came back here to work. Wouldn't work there anymore. So good for Lauren.
Amen.
You know, you got to take the listener's side, the viewer's side, if you truly believe you're right.
And this is one of those situations where if you're a weather person, a meteorologist, it doesn't get any more serious than severe weather.
Right.
That's your bread and butter. That's the biggest threat that you report on. And if you're scaring people, if you're being forced to scare people, that just is not going to cut it.
Well, I mean, you could literally cost people their lives.
Yes.
And actually, I don't think Lauren was fired. She chose to leave. Yes, she chose to leave.
Or the worst part of it, Steve, not necessarily cost people their lives. You could cause people to believe what you're saying less when it comes to severe storms, and then they don't pay attention when there's actually an emergency.
Yeah, suddenly a code red doesn't matter.
Right.
All right, next. Federal judges tossed a suit seeking to stop the Obama Center in Jackson Park. That project will continue, and there will be more challenges, to be sure. Next. Supreme Court passed on the In God We Trust case. U.S. currency will continue to include the words In God We Trust after the Supreme Court declined to hear a case challenging the slogan. The case was brought by an atheist named Michael Newdow, who claimed the phrase is a government endorsement of religion. I, you know, listen, I'm 58 years old. I've never come across anyone who went, "Did you see my money? I'm going to be a Christian now." Lighten up, Francis. There's other problems in the world. Next. Has the vaccine for Alzheimer's been found? This is an amazing story. Researchers at the University of New Mexico are testing a possible vaccination for Alzheimer's disease. It targets a protein called tau, T-A-U, that's often found in the brains of Alzheimer's patients. Mice who were given the vaccine performed better than the others in a series of maze tests. Researchers estimate that the vaccine is about 5 years away from being ready for humans. That's no good news for somebody that you love may be dealing with this now. But it is a big medical breakthrough, possibly. They're currently seeking more funding to continue with the test. Next. The White Sox rookie left fielder, Eloy Jimenez, hits his first home run at home. Super Joe, you're in charge of keeping track of all of this when it comes to the White Sox. And Dave would normally, you know, be right there with you, but he was with Lionel Richie all night.
Correct.
Why hasn't he hit a home run at home?
That's a good question. I can't really answer why he hasn't, but I know that it was another moon fruit, another absolute bomb.
White Sox went
all the way to the concourse.
462 feet.
That's all he does. All he does is hit 450-plus foot home runs.
If the concourse hadn't been there, that ball would have been on the Dan Ryan, I believe.
Yeah.
Right?
Headed south.
And the incredible thing about Eloy's swing is that it's effortless. You know, like, you would think a 462-foot blast would be, like, something where he's, like, really loading up. He just kind of, like, you know, almost like BP. Little batting practice, 462.
It's the ball in the sweet spot. Sweet spot of the ball, sweet spot of the bat. Goodbye, baseball. Baseball's going out going, "What did I do to you, Eloy?"
Yeah.
Next. Kraft introduces something yesterday, which, again, I don't think we need.
No.
Kraft introduced salad frosting.
So gross.
To help trick kids into eating more vegetables and simply asking, you know, instead of telling kids, look, we all have to try things. You know, throughout your life, you're going to need to try things. And you're going to need to try this. And going through that hassle, and it's a hassle. Going through that, I don't want it. Going through there, sitting there. Going through, you got to try it. All of those pains. Instead of simply asking kids to eat salad dressing, Kraft Heinz has introduced salad frosting with a sweet tooth invoking word right there on the label. But there is a catch. The catch is it's a slim tube of ranch dressing labeled so parents can trick kids into eating healthier.
This is too narrow a scope,
I tell you. You know,
they should target adults, too.
When I was a kid,
you want frosting?
Listen,
you want frosting on all.
I'm not about to order a salad, but you offer me a salad with frosting. Mm-hmm. Giddy up!
When I was a kid, you sat at the table, and my parents would say, "You're not leaving until you eat these Brussels sprouts.
Right?
Eat them." There was no frosting.
There's no frosting. When we were kids, we didn't have frosting. We had to walk uphill twice to get to frosting that wasn't there.
Frosting wasn't even in a can.
Once. And then once I ate them, I threw them up.
Yeah.
Brussels sprouts?
That's it. Yeah.
Well, have you had Brussels sprouts?
Yeah. Now they're good. Yeah. The way they cook them now.
No, I can't eat them to this day.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. That's your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
On top of the fact that you're teaching the kids that you're lying to them. You're encouraging the kids.
You are.
You're encouraging the parents to lie to the kids to get out of the discussion about whether or not they'll eat vegetables.
Right. Also, how much healthier is ranch than, frosting?
Oh, ranch is very unhealthy.
Ranch is awful.
Yeah. It's really bad for you.
You can get a lower fat, but it's not good. It's the sugar in frosting, though, is still going to be the difference.
Yeah.
That's what's going to make it appealing to kids, but you don't. Yeah, no.
see kids taking a bike. This is the worst frosting I've ever had.
Right, and then they switch to frosting to get the frosting part of it.
And they'll say, "Where's the chocolate?"
Right.
Did you ever try liver with sprinkles?
Oh, I would. Yeah, I would. I haven't yet.
Same.
Oh no, I've been fooled.
Little frosting with that.
Sugar. Oh, honey, honey. You are my candy girl.
Speaking of salad and vegetables, Super Joe, remind me, let's start a new feature, the political hypocrite of the day. Today's big winner is Chuck Grassley, the senator from Iowa, who has apparently applied to get more farmers' grants. These grants are in exchange for getting hammered on the farm because of Trump's tariff situation. Farmers under Trump have received payments on two occasions now, and Chuck has reapplied. You know the problem with this? Anyone want to know the problem with this? Here's the problem with this. Chuck Grassley was quoted as saying the following. The USDA checks ought to only go to farmers with dirt under their fingernails. I don't think Chuck's working the farm. You know, Chuck's in Washington. I don't think he's planting the soybeans and the corn. I don't think he's tilling the fields. So you can't have it both ways. You either got to get some dirt under your fingernails, or you got to accept the fact that you are also playing the system. You know, these mom-and-pop farmers who are killing themselves to try to make ends meet, these are the people that ought to get paid first. Not guys who are running corporate farms or senators who are in charge of the money. So there's your political hypocrite of the day. By the way, Steve, if you haven't seen it, you've got to see John Stewart blasting Congress yesterday as 9/11 first responders were in Washington to try to get the bill extended to take care of the health needs of first responders who have gotten all forms of cancer after working the pile after 9/11.
And I did see part of this yesterday.
It's tremendous.
Yeah, where he just basically told lawmakers, do your jobs. Do your jobs.
We're going to play back a large chunk of that. I'll retweet. It's on my Twitter feed. I'll retweet it now, so it'll be top of the line in Cochran Show on Twitter. And you can see the entire thing. But we'll play a good chunk of it coming up, and we'll put it on Instagram and other places as well. And you could just Google John Stewart and see it if you like. But it's amazing. It really is amazing. And, President Trump was spending time blasting Joe Biden yesterday. His own hometown of New York City was being represented in Congress, and half of the committee didn't show up for the hearing.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti, how are you? Karen, over.
Good morning.
Karen Conti, our legal guru. She's both. She's a goo and a roo. And she's on Sunday nights at what time?
From 7 to 9, the Karen Conti Show.
Okay. And people can call you and ask legal questions then. But we thought, we haven't done this in a long time. So let's whoop some generic legal questions on you from folks. We got some Facebook questions, some Twitter questions, and some texters here. Are you ready?
Bring it on.
Since I work at O'Hare on the ramp, management tells us to follow the rules to the letter, but not the outsourced vendors. Could there be a harassment suit possible for this double standard?
Huh. Well, actually, you don't really have a right to be treated the exact same way that other people are. The only exception to that is if you're being treated differently because of your race, your gender, sexual preference, national origin, those types of things. So people don't understand this, but, you know, your boss can play favorites. Your boss can treat you better than the next person, and there's no lawsuit. There's no discrimination based upon I like you better. Now, there are probably some union rules about this. I would imagine that he is a union member, so he may want to look at his talk to his union steward and see if there's some unfairness going on. But generally speaking, there's nothing there.
Well, I'd be ticketed if I smoke marijuana in public after the new Illinois pot laws go into effect.
Yes, you will. You can't. It's, you know, people think now that it's legal, we can just smoke it anywhere. But it's the same as cigarettes. Landlords can bar it. You know, your workplace obviously can bar it. Colleges can bar it. You can't smoke in public. You can't smoke in your car. Can't smoke around minors. You can't smoke around police officers. So yeah, you're going to be restricted. And if you do that, you'll get a ticket, much as you would if you were drinking in public.
So the deal is you have to smoke quietly in your room with a Grateful Dead record playing in the background?
Yeah, with that towel under the door, you know. Yeah, exactly.
And if mom catches you, you're still going to be in trouble.
Yeah, you're going to be really hungry, too.
From Twitter, at Cochrane Show, if somebody's overserved or drinks too much at a family holiday party and the person or friend in question drives home, gets in an accident, is the homeowner liable?
You know, that's a really interesting question, because the answer to that narrow question is probably no. If you're a bar and you overserve someone, we have those dram shop laws, right? So if you go into the tavern and they overserve you, and you go and you hurt yourself or somebody else, the dram shop laws would cover and would hold the bar responsible. But if you're a private citizen and you're serving alcohol, the only laws that really apply in Illinois are those relating to minors. So if you somehow allow a minor to drink, and you don't even have to serve them, they may just sneak it, you could be held responsible for all the damages the child causes to himself or others. Could also be held criminally responsible. But if you are an adult and you're serving an adult, and the adult goes out and does something, you are not responsible, because, you know, the law here basically says all of us are adults, and we're going to, you know, it's your responsibility to make sure that you're safe, and certainly the person who did the damage could be sued.
All right, we continue at 312-981-7200 with a couple of text questions. How will legal recreational marijuana affect the drug-free workplace in general?
That's a really good question, too. Your boss can still mandate that you are in a drug-free workplace. So if you have drug testing going on, the boss could say, if you test positive for marijuana, you could be fired. However, if you have medical marijuana card, then a boss has to accommodate you. Okay, so if you're smoking and, you know, you get tested and you come up positive, you present that card. You don't have to tell your boss why you have the card, whether it's post-traumatic stress or you have MS or you have something like that. But the boss has to accommodate you. But recreational smoking does not get you, does not exonerate you. So, yeah, I think a lot of workplaces still might be drug-free, and especially if they have contracts with the federal government. Because if a company has contracts with the federal government, they may have to comply with federal law, which still says that marijuana is illegal. So it's complicated.
262 asked a question about the music business. It seems to involve copyright law, which is a little complex and specialized in various places. But if you clarify your question and re-text me, I will ask Karen when we come back. A couple more before we take the break. My husband moved out 6 years ago. He's not filed for divorce. Should I get a legal separation?
Legal separation is very rare. Legal separation is the exact same thing as divorce. You go through the same process. You spend the same amount of money. You go through all the legal process. But at the end of it, you have a separation and not a divorce. And people get this if maybe their religion doesn't allow them to get divorced, or perhaps they want to stay on a group insurance policy. But it's very rare. What you want is a divorce. If someone leaves, you should get a divorce. And there's a lot of reasons why. You don't want someone racking up bills that you might be responsible for. If, God forbid, something happened to your spouse and became disabled, you might have to take care of them financially. So I always say, you know, if you're separated and you're done with the relationship, get a divorce. You can do it inexpensively if you agree on things. But legal separation is not the avenue.
Yeah, and after 6 years, I don't know if there's hope for a reconciliation there or other reasons. I know it's all on a case-by-case basis. But if the person, I just want to make sure people understand this, you're saying if the person is out of the house, that's go time if it's to file for a divorce.
You know, you don't have to leave the house in order to get a divorce. What I'm saying is there's no real reason to get a legal separation, unless it's a very narrow, like I said, you want to stay on policy, or you maybe you want to get Social Security, or you have some idea that you want to still be married. What I say is that you when you're gone from some, if you're not in a relationship anymore, there's no reason to stay married, and there's a lot of reasons not to stay married, because you just don't want that responsibility if you're no longer living with that person.
Is there anything to the house ownership situation if somebody leaves? Does your rights to the home change? Or do your?
It depends. The house is still yours. It was purchased during the marriage. That means it's joint property, even if it's titled in one person's name. Now, if you haven't been contributing to the mortgage for the last 6 years, when the time comes to split up that house and the equity in the house, the judge could say, well, you haven't paid in 6 years, so I'm going to give the person residing there and paying the mortgage a little bit more of the equity. But no, you don't lose your rights or your title or your interest to the house just because you move out.
Let me get one on the phone here, then we'll take the break. This is Melissa. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
What's your question?
Karen, I have a question. A few years ago, we purchased our house, and at the time of closing, the title company obviously is supposed to file any paperwork with your county. Well, this was in 2016. A couple weeks ago, I just realized that I'm in Winnebago County. They didn't have us listed as an owner-occupied house. So for the last 5 years-ish, we've been paying $1,000 more on our property taxes. We asked them if there was any way to retro it back, and they said for state law that is not possible. Do we have any recourse against the title company that maybe they didn't do something properly?
You're talking about for the lost money, right? The money that you have made up, Karen?
Yeah, so that's like... I mean, we're not talking $100. We're talking $1,000 times like 4 years.
Got it.
You know.
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure exactly, Melissa, what was supposed to have been filed. Do you have a clear idea of who was supposed to file that? Because the title company, I'm not sure. This is pretty complicated.
Saying whose responsibility was it to file the paperwork that led to the expense, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you know,
right.
Melissa?
So basically, the title company was supposed to file everything, the mortgage and whatnot, with our recorder. And we are showing as the owner, but it doesn't show. I mean, they knew at the time that we were going to be living in the house, which is where the exemption comes from, but they didn't file the exemption. And my only thing is that maybe the caveat here is that we're in Rockford and the title company was in Lake in the Hills, and maybe they weren't aware of that.
Well, what about this? What about, Melissa, I don't want to get you a short answer here when it's a long question and a long answer. So let me hook you up with Karen. Karen, would you talk to her off the air?
Yes. Why don't we do that, Melissa? Because I think the first order of business would be to talk to your real estate lawyer to see exactly what paperwork is supposed to be filed, who was supposed to file it, what does it look like, who signed off on it, and who was in the wrong here. And then we could identify whether or not you want to take action or you have the right to do that.
So, Melissa, call Karen at the office. Our guys will give you her number in just a second here off the air. More questions for Karen Conti. Legal questions, what do you got? Bring them on. 312-981-7200. On Twitter, at Cochran Show. Facebook, Steve Cochran Show. We'll get to as many as we can when we come back on 720 WGN. Back to Karen Conti. We're going through general legal questions. You know, Karen, what's the top two or three questions that you get from people when they go, oh, you're a lawyer?
You know, people ask, do you need a will and a trust, or do you need both? People ask, what do you have to prove to get divorced? People think that you have to prove some sort of fault. A lot of people are asking questions about employment, you know, just what are my rights? A lot of people have a different sense of what the law is as far as their job. They think that they have a right to have a fair boss that treats everybody exactly the same, and that's just not the case. But those are kind of the three areas.
And you've taught me in the past, you know, somebody that's been fired as many times as I have, you think I'd know. But you can be fired because you wore the shirt to work that your boss didn't like. You have no right to the job. You can be fired as long as it's not a discrimination firing.
Well, that's right. And I even give the example of if you're wearing green shoes and your boss says you're fired for wearing red shoes and you say, well, no, I'm wearing green shoes, it can even be a false reason. So, yeah, you don't have a whole lot of rights at the workplace except when it comes to those protected classes.
A phone call that will summarize here for Tony. Forced to wear a uniform at work, should the company have to pay for it?
No, they can make you buy it. Absolutely. There's no laws about that.
As long as they tell you that you're going to have to buy it, I suppose, right?
It's part of your uniform. Can some bosses pay for it, some don't, but no, you they can do that.
My dad was born in England. Do I have dual citizenship?
Oh gosh, I don't know the answer to that.
It depends on the country, I think.
Yeah, and I don't think so. I don't think by virtue of your parents being born somewhere else do you have dual citizenship. I can find the answer if he wants to email me at WGN@AskKarenConti.com.
All right, good. What is common law marriage versus not, you know, the other kind?
There's no such thing as common law marriage in Illinois. People think that if you live together for a certain number of years, you're basically de facto married. That's not true. You have to get married. You have to get a license. You have to go through all the procedures. Otherwise, you are deemed to be single.
What are grandparent rights in Illinois if we've been denied a relationship with our granddaughter? Do grandparents have rights?
They have very limited rights, unfortunately. Fortunately, I mean, the law presumes that parents can basically cut the grandparents out if they want. But there's some limited areas where grandparents can go to court and get visitation, as we used to call it. We call it grandparenting time now. And that is, generally speaking, is if one of the spouses, one of the parents has died or is in jail, or if there's a divorce, and by virtue of that lack of relationship, the grandparents are being denied by the remaining parent. And then you can go in, but only if you've been denied reasonable access to the child. So if they're giving you some access to the child, the courts aren't going to get involved and say, no, grandparents have to see the kid every 2 weeks. But if there's a complete denial of a relationship and there's one of those exceptions, then grandparents can go in and seek to get some parenting time.
Are 16-year-olds required to have car insurance if they live at home and the parents have coverage on the vehicles they're driving?
This is an interesting question. I mean, if you're 16 and you have the driver's permit? Is that, do you think, what they're asking?
Or a license, I guess, either one.
Yeah, in Illinois, you want to put your kid on your car insurance. So as soon as your kid has a driver's license or a driver's permit, you're going to call your agent and you're going to make sure that your child is put as an insured on the policy to make sure that he or she is covered. Because as we know, young people cannot, you know, don't always, you know, they're typically more accident prone. And so you want to do that as soon as you can.
I have a neighbor with a yappy dog, barks all day starting at 5 a.m. to 11 at night. It's a huge quality of life issue. Is there anything I should do legally?
Yeah, it's a big problem. You know, I always say try to resolve it first. Sometimes people don't know their dogs yap all day. They go to work and they just don't understand it. So I would say tactfully go talk to the person and just say, is there some way we can, you know, get this resolved? There are noise ordinances in most municipalities, and you can find out what those noise ordinances are. I doubt if the dog is going to break them, but you might want to have, I know where I used to live in the suburbs, they would come out and they'd measure the sound. If you had like a heating unit or you had an air conditioning unit that was particularly loud, they would measure it and they'd say, now you're under or you're over. But really, you know, filing a lawsuit over that is very expensive and probably won't resolve it. But I understand. I hear your pain. Try to resolve it amicably is all I can say.
All right, let's go lightning round on these. Should you fight a speeding ticket?
I think you should. Excuse me. You should, you know, I mean, go to court and see if you can get supervision. You might have to pay a little bit, but, you know, you get three tickets and you know, it does impact your insurance and all that stuff. You know, it depends. If you drive a lot and you know you're going to maybe get a second ticket, I would say yes.
If you're stopped for possible DUI, should you turn down the breathalyzer?
Well, if you do, you're going to be out of a license for 6 months, regardless. But if they stop you and they think you're drunk, all you're going to do by doing the breathalyzer is give them the evidence to use to convict you. So it's a hard sell. I mean, if you don't think you're drunk, and you know, but when people drink, they don't think they're drunk, so that's the problem. If you've been drinking at all, I would say don't take it.
That's a nice list of a cornucopia, if you will, of everything. Remember, you gave me contagious phlegm, by the way. But remember, you're not entitled to your job. You're not entitled to your feelings not being hurt. You're not entitled to being treated fairly at work. Doesn't sound great, but you're not legally entitled to it. And when it comes to a divorce, the faster and more amicably you do it, the better. And if you have questions about anything legal, I would recommend you get a hold of Karen. How do they do that?
You can call me at 312-332-7800, or better yet, WGN at AskKarenConti.com.
All right. Thank you, Karen.
All right. Have a great day.
That's Karen Conti. I think I did. I got sympathetic throat from Karen Conti. Who was struggling.
Yeah, I think.
I don't know.
I thought you were over this.
Over it. We'll never be over it.
I guess not.
Taze, Blues line to Kane, over the line to the right circle, put it in front for Taze, and she just scores! And Patrick Kane has tied his career high on that goal, assisting on the captain's goal.
Well, how about this? How about a little bonus? Seventh game of the Stanley Cup tonight. Only thing wrong with that picture is the Hawks aren't in it yet. It's going to be a big year coming up. I can feel it. Dave, can you feel it?
I feel it. Yeah,
I feel
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
You sure you feel it? I feel it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The captain, Jonathan Toews, joins us. Good morning, Taser.
How are you doing, fellas?
Thanks for getting up.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for getting me up.
No golf today? What's the plan for today?
I'm not heading to the gym right now. But, I'm guessing you've already done that today.
Yeah, I have. I usually get up around 4. I crank out about 90 minutes of a workout and a quick shower. Then I come and do the show, because this talk radio stuff will take a lot out of you, Taser.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah. It's not like you guys where you go on 30, 45-second clips and then you sit for a while. I got to sit the entire morning.
Yeah, we can throw them. We can gas it pretty easily if you want to. Sure.
How's the summer? Okay, so far, other than having too much free time.
Yeah, but I guess in a way it's good. You regroup. You kind of you definitely have time to learn from what went wrong, and we're excited for next year, so a lot of work to be done, that's for sure.
You had a great season last year. I like when people call it a bounce-back season. But you've been around long enough not to be offended by that type of thing, I'm sure. But you had a great season last year. Sauter came back. He's got room to improve still. Well, everybody does. I mean, if Crawford's healthy, there's no reason for you guys not to go.
I think it's such a fine line nowadays. You sneak into the playoffs, you get confident. Everyone seems to play, kind of up-level their game, and you could be looking at a completely different team. I think at part of the year last year, we were hanging with the best of them, and I think, me of all people, been playing for Joel for a long time. There was some adjustments to be made with Jeremy for sure, but I think once we all got on the same page, we really bought into the system and the thing that he was trying to teach us, that we're going to not only make us better players, but make us a better team last year. So I think with our young guys, it'll be great to see what they can do coming in with some experience next year.
Still sounds weird when Taser says young guys, doesn't it, Dave Bennett?
Yeah, it does. But you do look at some of these guys now. Taser, and you, let's look at Alex DeBrincat for starters, and the year he had going from year one to year two, and his performance in the World Championships. Has he scratched the surface yet? Do you think this guy still has room to grow?
Well, for sure. I mean, I think a guy like that, what he's been able to show us in the two seasons he's been with us is pretty incredible. But I think, just knowing him, he's not satisfied, but I think he definitely, him and Stromer and some of these other guys, they're eager to prove what they can do in the playoffs, and I think that's the ultimate test, and looking forward to giving them that opportunity and getting back to the promised land and seeing what happens.
You got a pick tonight. Who do you like?
I don't know. I still got a chip on my shoulder from the St. Louis series back in the day. And although there's not a whole lot of guys left from that team, I wouldn't be too eager to see them win. But I guess I could say the same with Boston. So never easy to watch. And obviously, watching some other team hoist the cup is going to get to you and light that fire again for sure.
You know, Chara, the giant lurch-like defenseman for the Boston Bruins, did one of the toughest things I've seen in hockey, and that's a long list, including Duncan Keith getting 7 teeth knocked out and then trying to get back on the ice immediately. Oh, and by the way, he showed up about 20 minutes later. Playing with a broken jaw. Taser, I don't even know how to wrap my head around that.
Yeah, I was talking about with some guys, and my bet was that he wasn't going to play, and now he's making it look like it's no big deal. So you're trying to understand, well, maybe it's not that serious, but, I mean, it's a broken jaw. You never know what can happen. If something else happens, he's taking a huge risk. So definitely pretty impressive feat for a guy like that to show that character to the rest of his team. I think, that's pretty inspiring for sure.
Well, and I just wanted to remind you, since you played against Char when you guys beat in the 17 seconds season, and beat Boston, that he was trash-talking as well. So I'm going to speak for you on this, Jonathan Taves. I think you dislike both teams tonight evenly.
Yeah, that's a pretty good call right there. But if I had to pick one to lose, I guess I'd say St. Louis.
Yeah, well, you know what? And the thing about Boston is not only do they have a handful of guys who played against you and in the final, but the game they won the other night in St. Louis, an elimination game on the road, and they didn't just beat them. They beat them soundly. And to me, I don't know if you felt this, that felt like the way you guys play in those big elimination games. Did you get that sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's when your experience really takes over, because when it comes down to the games 5, 6, 7, it's really just about executing. I honestly think who can handle their nerves better, and Boston's showing that they got some guys that if it gets anxious in the room or on the bench, they got some guys who can really settle it down and just go play hockey. And so that just knowing that, I'd give them a huge advantage tonight for sure.
All right, let me turn the clock back just for 1 second. June 24th of 2006, the Blackhawks had the number 3 pick in the draft, and we know who they took. So take us back to the week leading up to that draft. Is, now the Blackhawks once again with the number 3 pick going in this draft.
Well, it's kind of cool to look back at that, being a kid, and at least for myself, my mindset was, it's exciting to get drafted. It's the start of my dream come true, but it still doesn't mean anything. But it definitely was an event that I enjoy with my family, that you just, at the time you think you're just going to sit back and relax, but I actually sat down in my seat for the draft. That's when the nerves really hit me. And, I think you're excited to get drafted and you don't really care who picks you. But when I look back now, I'm pretty sure I'm glad that Chicago took me and there wasn't, a handful of other teams that were in that range there.
I would say it worked out pretty well.
Yeah. I would say I got a nice little balance on draft day there.
By the way, speaking of your old coach, what do you think about him in Florida?
Yeah, that would be interesting to see. I think Joel is a great coach. He's great at just gauging the game, knowing which players to go, and he's got that fire. And I think, as he always says, no one loves winning more than he does. So I think they got some good young players there. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
We're going to Prague with you, Taser. I know you're excited about it. The Steve Cochran Show. We're bringing a whole bunch of listeners, and that's going to be a
I
great.
I didn't know you're coming.
What do you mean you didn't know? I'm sure they called you immediately. You want me to?
But we're bringing a whole bunch of listeners, and we're going to have tons of fun, and you can still enter to win one more trip. David Hochberg will be back with us next Friday to pull that winner. VIP private package, see the Blackhawks Open 2019-2020, and the Czech Republic on October 4th against the Flyers. And for your chance to win, go to WJNradio.com/trip to enter today. By the way, when I'm there, Dave Ennett and I are going to storm the castle in Prague, the giant castle. And once we're in, you and the boys are welcome.
All right. I appreciate it. Hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming out, man. I appreciate it. Good catching up with you.
No problem. And hey, what's this I hear about you losing money to my buddy Billy Nestle on the golf course?
Yeah, that was the day that I don't know how this happened to you. You what couldn't show that? Up. You couldn't show up because I was there, or did you really have a plan?
I haven't shined up my golf clubs yet. My game just wasn't ready, so
I see.
I might be now. We're deep enough into the off season, so.
Yeah, I know it's hard to identify with this, being Jonathan Taves, but the fact that I pushed the great Billy Nestle to 19 holes is the closest I'll ever get to beating Billy Nestle.
That's not that hard, actually. So.
Oh, ouch. Ouch. Oh, he got me. Thank you, buddy. Have a great time, and we'll see you soon, I hope.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. See you later. Jonathan Taves from your Chicago Blackhawks. The Billy Nestle you mentioned used to play golf at DePaul, and I introduced Billy several years ago to Brian Campbell, and Billy suddenly is best friends with all the Blackhawks. He's hanging out with Taves and all that. So
didn't I give an update on Billy's game a few ago?
Yeah, Billy's a great player.
Yeah,
he's a great player and a good guy, really good guy as well. Good guy, good family.
I just want to know why they didn't tell Taves that you were going to Prague.
Maybe they were afraid he wouldn't go.
I know. I'm kind of worried about that now.
Hey, Jonathan, you want to walk around and see stuff?
Oh, he's coming. Yikes.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Great story that went viral in the past few days. An Oak Park first grader with autism didn't want to face the last day of school. So his principal asked the family if he could walk him there. The boy was thrilled. Principal came to his house and walked him in. One of those small gestures that's a really big deal. And Jonathan Elwanger is the principal, and I just wanted to make you the most valuable person on the planet.
Well, thanks very much. I thought maybe you were just having all Jonathans on. I didn't know I was going to follow Jonathan Taves, but that's a great honor. Thanks.
Normally, it's a tough act to follow, but based on what you did as part of your day, I think you win.
Well, certainly that little guy had a great last day, and that was the big win at that moment.
My daughter works with kids with autism every day as a behavioral analyst, and through that I've learned a lot about the condition, and I know how challenging it could be, and what these kids go through, and what the families go through, along with the therapist. So the fact that you get it as a principal is very encouraging to me.
Well, thanks. On that day, at that moment, that was the right thing, as I've told some people since. We don't always have magic fairy dust to sprinkle. Everybody doesn't always say yes when you make that offer and you try to change your channel. But novelty is something that is good for everybody, and this is not a conversation I have with this little guy all the time. As a matter of fact, we've never had a conversation like that before, and it was just something different enough that was enough to help him get unstuck.
Was he pretty verbal?
You know what? He was very comfortable talking to me over FaceTime. It's interesting. That probably is one of the longest exchanges that we have had. You know, he will talk. He's not a big talker, but he was certainly very comfortable talking to me that morning.
Yeah, and that's a cool story, too, because, you know, anytime you can make that connection, it really matters. So, listen, it's a simple gesture, but I think it's a big deal. I hope you feel good about it.
You know what? I have been completely overwhelmed. I have gotten phone calls and emails and text messages from former families and from former students and former colleagues, one former girlfriend from high school, all kinds of folks all across the country who either saw the post if they're a Facebooker or saw the Tribune story if there's somebody who still reads a newspaper. And that has been an incredible way to start this last year before I retire.
Oh, retirement coming up.
Yes.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thanks. So, yes, great anytime. Great, especially as you're thinking about all the things that you're going to do one more time.
Yeah, and here's to a great final year. Having said that, Dave, I love the idea that Principal Ellwanger got the ex-girlfriend to say what a great guy he was, because he could go, I told you I was a great guy, but you didn't listen. I appreciate you being on. Thanks for being a good guy.
Thanks.
All right, don't go to our area. That's Let's take care of the principal off the air, if we would, if he's willing to take our prizes. That's your most valuable person on the planet, just like that. We'll come back and get your news next, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The third planet is sure, and they're being washed by an eye in the sky, and it can't be stopped when you get to the promised land.
Steve Kozanich, you may have noticed that CNN's doing an Apollo 11 thing. And there's lots to talk about. Are we going to go back to the moon? Or are we going to go to Mars?
Big 50th anniversary is coming up of the Apollo 11 moon landing.
And Kevin DeBruin is standing by to join us now about his project, Return to the Moon. Is Kevin ready to go? Yep. All right, let me pick him up here. Good morning, Steve. Kevin. How are you?
Great. How are you doing this morning, Steve?
I'm doing fine. Tell me about Return to the Moon. Are you going?
I would love to go.
So good.
Return to the Moon is a 4K documentary film available worldwide tomorrow on June 13th on CuriosityStream. So it explores today's global space race to take humankind back to the moon, to stay there, build a base, and go beyond.
I was 8 years old. I'm 58. I was 8 years old when Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon. And I remember being just so nervous that when he came off that last step, what if he just sinks, not taking into account that the lunar lander actually weighs more than Neil Armstrong, and that seemed to be sitting there just fine. But as a little kid, it was a huge deal. Dave, you were what, 12, 13?
I was 14 years old.
You remember what
I remember every minute of it. Yep.
Walter Cronkite, Wally Schirra. I mean, just it was an amazing thing in the three-channel universe, Kevin, to be locked into.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I was like negative 18 years old at that point.
That's why I told the story. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you grew up in the shuttle era, and in the shuttle era, outside of the horrible tragedies on two missions, we started to really take it for granted. Do you hope this reignites interest?
Oh, definitely. With the growing interest in space, we have private companies that don't need to live within government bounds to push technologies further. That's one of the big things that CuriosityStream's Return to the Moon highlights, is how this is a collaboration, not only with global superpowers like NASA, for communicating with ESA, the European Space Agency, JAXA, Russia, and then our private companies like SpaceX. We just heard about Elon Musk's Tesla. This company, as well as him, along with some Amazon companies, and all of these private companies working together, I think that's going to allow us to really increase the excitement and awareness for space exploration to get us back to the moon.
Our resident space expert here is actually from outer space. He's newsman Steve Kozanich.
Yeah, I'm the nerd on the team.
Steve, say hi to Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Listen, so you're back on Earth now?
I am back on Earth this morning, but I might be headed back to the moon or Mars, depending on where they send me next. But, you know, one of the questions I get a lot, asked a lot by people who are not science-related, nerd-related, is if we've already been to the moon, why is it taking so long to get all of the rocketry back in order, getting all of the systems in place to go back there? Why can't we just do it pretty quickly?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it was over almost 50 years ago that we initially went to the moon. It's been almost 40 years since we've actually been there. So the technology is that old, and it's just kind of been sitting around, right? So we have to look back at looking to get this equipment refurbished to get back into operating order. Is it the most efficient way to do it? Is even the processes that were put in place back then up to today's standards with our new knowledge on reliability and technology? Like, if we're going to go back to the moon, when we go back, we should do it the right way and not just take what we have from the past that seemed to work once. If we can make it better, let's do it.
Yeah, that's the thing that amazes me about the discussion, Kevin. It's not like we did everything on the moon that we could have done. As a matter of fact, the amazing science that was recovered was still fairly limited, right?
Yeah, that's very true. And something that CuriosityStream's Return to the Moon highlights is the game-changing power source helium-3. So that's something we learned about from the first moon missions, was that we find helium-3 in the soil there, and it's extremely rare here on Earth. But it has the ability to create nuclear fusion with virtually no waste or radiation. So some private companies are looking to maybe mining that, bringing it down to Earth, and then we can power cities for generations.
Again, this debuts tomorrow on CuriosityStream. How do we get it?
You can go to curiositystream.com/Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, to sign up for a free trial, and you're able to access the documentary as soon as it hits midnight and changes over to Thursday.
It's a big project. Congratulations on getting it done.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And I appreciate you coming on. I mean, I'll watch that, Steve, won't you?
Absolutely. I'm going to watch everything Apollo 11 moon-related this month. It's just it's a party month.
Have you guys watched the series 1969 at all? I think on ABC.
I saw previews for that.
It's been awesome. Great. I've been watching them all. There's one on Manson. There's one on the Black Panthers. But they did an episode on Apollo 11, and it just takes you back. It's going into a time capsule.
Well, what's funny about 1969 is because 68 was such an insane year. 69 by standards, people don't think of it in the same way, but you know, in the convention here and everything. But 69 had news grabbing events every month as well.
How about Chappaquiddick occurred the same weekend as the lunar landing?
Yeah,
or within 24 hours of it.
Yeah, luckily for Ted.
Yeah, as it turned out.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, the president was slamming Joe Biden yesterday. He missed a golden opportunity to look like a hero. Notice I didn't say to do the right thing. 9/11 first responders were in Washington, D.C., along with John Stewart, who's been fighting their fight now for years, to try to get the health benefits extended and not reduced for some who have yet to been able to prove that their cancer is related to working the pile. It's just an absolutely outrageous story that, thankfully, John Stewart has been in front of because it gives it the attention it deserves. But the greater outrage yesterday was watching this committee hearing as Stewart addressed them and one of the 9/11 first responders as well. And they're empty chairs. Eric Swalwell's running for president, the Democrat from California. He wasn't there. Guy Reschenthaler, Republican from Pennsylvania. He wasn't there. Mr. I Don't Have a Jacket, Jim Jordan, the mouth from Ohio. He wasn't there. John Stewart said, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You're going to hear his audio in just a second, but you won't be because accountability isn't something that happens here. Now, the chairman, Chairman Cohen, defended his lawmakers' attendance, said, my subcommittee, every single one, has been here today. Some members are in their offices now visiting with constituents. Some are watching on television because this is broadcast. Our attendance was pretty good. Are you kidding me? Your attendance was pretty good. You ought to be honored just to be in the presence of these heroes, to have an opportunity to shake their hand, tell them thank you, and to say, I'm so sorry for what you're going through. I have no doubt that this legislation will eventually be passed, but this is an absolute stark example of how Democrats and Republicans in Washington don't get it. Here's John Stewart's audio, and again, the full audio online on my Twitter feed at Cochran Show and all over the place. John Stewart yesterday addressing Congress.
As I sit here today, I can't help but think what an incredible metaphor this room is for the entire process that getting health care and benefits for 9/11 first responders has come to. Behind me, a filled room of 9/11 first responders, and in front of me, a nearly empty Congress. Sick and dying, they brought themselves down here to speak. To no one. It's shameful. It's an embarrassment to the country, and it is a stain on this institution. And you should be ashamed of yourselves for those that aren't here, but you won't be, because accountability doesn't appear to be something that occurs in this chamber. We don't want to be here. Lou doesn't want to be here. None of these people want to be here, but they are, and they're not here for themselves. They're here to continue fighting for what's right. Lou's going to go back for a 69th chemo. The great Ray Pfeiffer would come down here, his body riddled with cancer and pain, where he couldn't walk, and the disrespect shown to him and to the other lobbyists on this bill is utterly unacceptable.
I would be so angry at the latest injustice that's done to these men and women. You know, another business card thrown our way as a way of shooing us away, like children trick-or-treating, rather than the heroes that they are and will always be. Ray would say, calm down, Johnny, calm down. I got all the cards I need. And he would tap his pocket where he kept the prayer cards of 343 firefighters. The official FDNY response time to 9/11 was 5 seconds. 5 seconds. That's how long it took for FDNY, for NYPD, for Port Authority, for EMS to respond to an urgent need from the public. 5 seconds. Hundreds died in an instant. Thousands more poured in to continue to fight for their brothers and sisters. The breathing problem started almost immediately, and they were told they weren't sick, they were crazy. And then, as the illnesses got worse, things became more apparent. Well, okay, you're sick, but it's not from the pile. And then, when the science became irrefutable, okay, it's the pile, but this is a New York issue. I don't know if we have the money. And I'm sorry if I sound angry and undiplomatic, but I'm angry. And you should be too, and they're all angry as well. And they have every justification to be that way. There is not a person here, there is not an empty chair on that stage that didn't tweet out, never forget the heroes of 9/11. Never forget their bravery. Never forget what they did, what they gave to this country. Well, here they are. And it would be one thing if their callous indifference and rank hypocrisy were benign, but it's not. Your indifference costs these men and women in their most valuable commodity, time. It's the one thing they're running out of. This hearing should be flipped. These men and women should be up on that stage, and Congress should be down here answering their questions as to why this is so damn hard and takes so damn long, and why no matter what they get, something's always pulled back and they got to come back. Mr. Johnson, you made a point earlier, and it was one that we have heard over and over again in these halls, and I couldn't help but to answer to it. You said, look, you guys are obviously heroes, and 9/11 was a big deal, but, you know, we have a lot of stuff here to do, and, you know, we got to make sure there's money for a variety of disasters. There's hurricanes and tornadoes, but this wasn't a hurricane and this wasn't a tornado. And by the way, that's your job anyway. We can't fund these programs. You can. Setting aside that no American in this country should face financial ruin because of a health issue. Certainly 9/11 first responders shouldn't have to decide whether to live or to have a place to live. And the idea that you can only give them 5 more years of the VCF because you're not quite sure what's going to happen 5 years from now. Well, I can tell you, I'm pretty sure what's going to happen 5 years from now. More of these men and women are going to get sick and they are going to die. And I am awfully tired of hearing that it's a 9/11 New York issue. Al-Qaeda didn't shout death to Tribeca. They attacked America. And these men and women and their response to it is what brought our country back. It's what gave a reeling nation a solid foundation to stand back upon, to remind us of why this country is great, of why this country is worth fighting for. And you are ignoring them, and you can end it tomorrow. Why this bill isn't unanimous consent and a standalone issue is beyond my comprehension, and I have yet to hear a reasonable explanation for why. It'll get stuck in some transportation bill or some appropriations bill and get sent over to the Senate, where a certain someone from the Senate will use it as a political football to get themselves maybe another new import tax on petroleum, because that's what happened to us in 2015, and we won't allow it to happen again. Thank God for people like John Field. Thank God for people like Ray Pfeiffer. Thank God for all of these people who will not let it happen. They responded 5 seconds. They did their jobs. Courage, grace, tenacity, humility. 18 years later, do yours. Thank you.
Amazing. Amazing. The Victims Compensation Fund, which is an absolute no-brainer, attached to other bills, slowed down while the heroes that work that pile die every day. Good for John Stewart. Good for all of those men. And by the way, the stealing of the time point that he made is huge. You think those guys want to go there and testify to Congress? Be a part of showing how bad things are so they can get what's deserved for everybody. Every day they're not home with their families is another day they lose. Yeah. It's outrageous.
It's very powerful stuff.
Can he run for president?
He's amazing. Yeah. Just amazing. Coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Gazanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. You want to hear the entire 9 minutes, and you should.
and then spread it around to your friends. Go to my Twitter feed, @Cochran Show. It's top of the line there. It's a good texter, 847. Does Congress realize the root of the word attendance is attend? And we're coming back next on WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, or kiss me good.
Dean, you'll remember it's all. Good morning, fellow moron.
Good morning, morons.
All right, so before we get to Moron Entertainment, you'll remember a time when we would do a show and we'd carry around stacks of newspapers.
Yep.
Probably a couple of legal pads with clippings, notes on them,
yep.
Clippings, things of that nature.
Yep.
Now it's all on the phone. It's all right there on the phone.
Yep.
Phone and computer. So you imagine my panic when I realized my phone was running out of battery a while ago.
Oh, is that what was going on?
Yeah.
With Mary was running around here like a maniac.
Sandberg and Tabitha, two of our big management hotshots, didn't want me to throw a talent tantrum, so they've actually come up with a phone charger for me to charge my phone. And it's a Samsung Note 8, so it's got this specific ripoff proprietary charging thing that you have to have with its, you know, its special little charging dock and socket. But Dean, this is what I was going to do. I was going to go down to my car, white lighting. I was going to plug my phone into my car. I was then going to remote start my car over and over again
until your battery was charged.
Yeah, just to get enough juice in it to get by.
Wow. Okay, how are you going to remote start your car if your phone's in it?
That's the problem. So I spent some time when I was supposed to be doing the show online to see if I could download the My Chevrolet app so I could actually start it from the computer. And that's a big problem, General Motors. I'm telling you right now, you've got to see that this could happen to anyone, and you got to make that app downloadable on the computer. Oh, I'm glad I've helped society today, Dean.
This is the sad state of society that we're in right now.
I was looking at if Walgreens had one of those back converters that would take the car charger and, you know, convert it into a wall charger.
Yeah, plug it in.
No dice.
So obviously I got everybody on the show really focused on what they need to be focused on, Dean.
I see Steve with a cord in his phone and battery cables trying to charge it off of the battery of a car.
That's the thing. Those, you know, the alligator clamps don't work on your phone. Did you know that? Mm-mm. I mean, that seems like a problem, too.
Yeah, and what were we going to do when you went down to your car to actually do all this?
Yeah, what was going to happen with the show
the
at that
half
point?
Hour?
Let me tell you something. No, I'm telling you this right
Priorities,
now.
Priorities, my friends.
No, I've done this before. Turnaround time to my parking space in the garage in this building and back is one newscast. Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Wow. And by the way, that's me.
Sounds like you've done this before.
Yeah, once or twice. coming up, Miley Cyrus, Chris Pratt, Madonna, Toy Story 4, Shaft. We got a lot to talk about. Dean, how are you?
Fine. Just as an update, I'm looking right now. I have 97% left on my phone right now.
Oh, you're killing me.
Some of us are prepared. You know, some of us charge our phones overnight, carry. Like if my phone died right now.
You got a backup?
I have cables with me at all times.
Yeah, it's really a case of poor battery management, wouldn't you say?
Poor, yeah, it is.
No, yeah. Absolutely right. I've got this giant battery backup. It cycles the phone like 7-8 times. You can recharge it. That's fully charged. It's sitting in my house.
Yeah. Steve, I'm sending you a really large video through text message right now.
Excellent.
And is the subject line something like, Steve, you got to see this? Yeah.
Thanks. Subject line Appreciate is battery it. Running out.
So anyway, I just didn't want the public to worry. My phone will be fully charged.
Whew.
I know, right?
It's all we can say. I speak for the entire audience when I say, whew.
I think Mary's exhausted. She must have got more steps on her Fitbit this morning trying to find you a charger.
That's good management. She came in here. She saw she had a problem. She solved the problem.
Did she find a charger in the radio station?
Tabitha, our other big management hotshot, happened to have one of the multiple adapter situations.
Nobody in the newsroom, that's for sure.
When she was interviewing for the job, do you think they questioned her about her ability to find a charger for the morning show host?
I think one of the questions that came up with Larry Worth, the guy that runs the company, was... Steve is barely functional. When things come up with Steve, are you able to help because you've known him for many years? And she said, yeah. Gosh, she worked with Dahl. Can you imagine what Dahl asked her to do?
Oh, yeah.
you know, lost things, found things.
If at any point in this whole thing, did you call our friend Steve Shapiro out at APT, see if he could open the store early?
Shapiro said Grady would have driven down here with an adapter. So, by the way, a texter helpfully tells me he can only remote start a GM car twice in a row. Well, at least I could have gotten some juice in there to survive. You know, I'm like a guy out in an old west desert with a canteen with just a few drops in it. It's the same thing, Dean.
You are the Lewis and Clark of East Wacker Drive.
I used to have seen the smile on my face when I thought, I got this. I can hack this problem. I'll get down. I'll put it in the car. Oh, God. What happened to me? Everything all right with you, though? I don't know if we covered that. Have we covered it? Are you okay?
Yeah, no, everything's fine. I'm having a very nice morning. We've got some interesting interviews today. While I was waiting to go on, I think I may have purchased the sport coat online. Have you ever purchased clothes online?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that.
I'm a little apprehensive about this. I did it, but I'm a little apprehensive about it.
Yeah, there's a company that I've bought, you know, a few shirts and stuff from. I went off the deep end and bought a coat that I thought looked cool from them.
Yeah.
I got it. It was so bad and so stupid and so wrong. It's literally the only thing I've ever sent back that I ever bought online, because usually I'm too lazy to go to the post office. And this looked like a casual sport coat, right? Like you know, just like a cool casual sport coat. It was like a cardigan sweater. It was like the weirdest miss ever.
Yeah, that's bad. So that's what I you know, you get these ads all the time. And it's like, maybe let me take a look. And there's a really nice like, charcoal sport coat that looks super nice. And I was like, maybe I'll give it a try. So I am. I would just, as a thought, though, to these companies sending ads out for this, be much more effective if you put fat, unattractive people in the ads instead of these models. Nobody looks like these people in the ads. Put normal-looking people in here so we get a sense of really what this coat will look like.
Well, this company, Carbon to Cobalt, that I don't know if you bought anything from there. You got cool men's clothes. Well, and some women's clothes, too, for that matter.
You bought women's clothes?
Well, if I can find stuff that fits, sure. Why wouldn't I? But Carbon, the number two, Cobalt, I don't get anything for mentioning that. It's just it's got cool stuff there. But now that I accidentally bought this cardigan sweaterish thing, you should see the cardigan sweater ads I'm getting.
Hmm. All right.
What am I, the dad on my three sons? What do I need that for?
Right. Yeah, once you even look at something, it registers on the computer, and you start getting ads for all this.
Oh, it'll be constant. Like, yeah. I'm with the Dress Barn now. I love Dress Barn, which is closing. But it's not closing for a while, right, Steve? Like 4 months or something? Do you know? Business, Steve?
Yeah, that sounds about right, Mary.
How does someone little like you fit into something from a Dress Barn?
What? They have my size.
That does imply.
I love that place. I'm so bummed it's closing. And so they keep sending me stuff, you know, constantly. Buy this, and... You know, I'm waiting for it to get down to 50%.
And whatever you do, Dean, don't buy underwear online. I made that mistake, and now every ad I see on Facebook is,
oh, wow,
somebody in underwear.
You're getting ads popping up all the time for underpants?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Yeah. Why would you buy underwear online?
What are you talking about? That's where
I don't know.
That
seems like a thing that you would buy. Right. Like, you know, how off can underwear be?
I don't know. When you're at Kohl's, you just pick up a pack or pick up a few.
No, you got to get the specialty stuff now.
It's not like Sears where you had to remember the Sears underwear.
When you go to the store, you never know if people have tried it on in advance, too.
Oh,
you.
That's why I buy the stuff in the package.
Mary, let me ask your opinion here because I'm looking at another sport coat. Oh. Well, no, this is on another sport coat. This is a great looking picture of a like a plum colored sport coat.
Oh.
I don't know if I could pull off a plum-colored sport coat.
Where are you going?
Well, you know, just for TV. And
I think you'd look good in plum. Now, I will tell you this. In 92 or 93, I thought I'd look great in a lavender, purplish sort of sport coat.
Right.
Because Luther Vandross was wearing it, and I looked like Barney.
Well, you don't wear purple pants, that's for sure.
No, it's black pants, purple sport coat, and I look like Barney the Human Dinosaur.
Yeah.
I'd say if you have jeans, wear it with jeans.
Yeah, it looks good. That's how it is in the picture.
Yeah.
You know, jeans, it looks great.
You could pull it off, Dean. You're suave.
I'm afraid to look like a giant eggplant or something.
More radio shopping. Stand by for that coming up.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard.
Back to more on entertainment. Dean, we need to wish good luck to our friend Jeff Garland, who's doing his taping tonight for his special. And, you know, we know he'll break a hip and a leg and a few other things.
Something will be broken. Jeff will do it.
Yeah. So, Garland, very funny tonight. If you're going, congratulations. You'll have a good time. Miley Cyrus.
So she and her husband, Liam Hemsworth, just celebrated 10 years together. And there were some headlines on the Twitter saying that they were about to break up. And you'd think she'd be used to this by now, every possible rumor.
But she was mad.
Ever, but she got mad. So she retweeted one of the headlines that said, and she wrote, "Happy 10-year anniversary, my love. Good to see everyone is as dumb as they were in 2009. Some things never change, and I hope the way you feel about me is one of them." So she took something negative and turned it positive. She's a glass half full kind of girl.
Yeah. There's also a little negative in there, too. Everybody's stupid. But, you know, the people who start throwing around that they're getting divorced, that's a dumb thing to say.
Well, you know, this internet stuff, there's this story about Chris Pratt. Got married over the weekend to Katherine Schwarzenegger, and he posted a beautiful picture of them at their wedding, saying that yesterday was the best day of our lives. Now, see, that's very nice, right?
Sure.
Caused a deluge of comments from internet trolls saying that this should not have been the best day of their lives because he's got a six-year-old son. That should have been that best day of his life.
Oh, for crying out loud.
That the day he married his first wife, Anna Faris, should have been the best day of his life. People were going nuts telling this guy
people need to get their own lives.
It's just a saying. I mean, everybody says it.
Yeah, didn't he say it's the best day of our lives?
Our lives.
As in he and her together.
He and her together, right.
Idiots.
But the other thing
I'm going back to the first text now. They're all idiots.
Yep. Mind your own business.
Yeah, seriously.
Leave these people alone.
How come what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say they do put themselves, you know, they put the stuff out there, so I guess they're inviting comments on it. If you put it out, if you don't want anyone to comment about it, don't put it on the internet, which Miley Cyrus did not. Just people were that was initiated by crazy people. But I guess if you want to keep your wedding stuff private, keep your wedding stuff private, I suppose. But so what? He posted a picture, innocently posted it. He was happy. He posted a picture of him and his wife, and people got to jump all over this guy's back.
Just all rumors and negativity. I mean, you know, and we're not even talking about the fact that Miley Cyrus is leaving Liam Hemsworth for Chris Pratt, and we're not even bringing that up.
That's going to be the best day of his life.
How come Madonna can't sell tickets?
Oh, this is a very interesting story. You know, Madonna at one time sold out Soldier Field.
Automatic.
1987, sold out Soldier Field, constantly selling out the United Center through the years. Now she's playing smaller venues with this new Madam X tour that is going to kick off. Now she's doing multiple nights at a lot of these theaters, including the Chicago Theater. In October, she'll do six nights at the Chicago Theater then. But you would think that, you know, at smaller venues like this, people would want to see Madonna up close and personal like this. And the New York Post did some checking, and hundreds of tickets for each of these shows are still available. And tickets have been for sale for a month. So that is kind of weird that these Madonna seats are not going. The show producers themselves say that it's because they made more seats available. That's why their seats open right now. But
show producers lie more than Donald Trump.
Critics are saying that you know, Madonna's appeal, it just isn't what it used to be. May also have something to do with the fact that tickets for her shows are very, very expensive.
Yeah,
I was going to say, what's the cost?
Yeah, bad seats are almost $200.
Yeah,
bad seats. If you want a decent seat, you're going to pay $700, $800, $1,000.
That's a lot of money.
For Madonna? No, I wouldn't do it.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, you can get a lot of 61-year-old women to wear leather leotards and things. Come on. Yeah. I don't need to pay $800.
Just on Lower Wacker. You can go down there and usually see it for free.
This more on entertainment, sponsored by our friends at Ravinia. By the way, Dave was at the Lionel Richie show.
Lionel Richie, how was that?
It was great. He was terrific. And, I mean, it was I think what you would expect. I'd never seen him in concert.
Yeah, he puts on a good show.
He does put on a good show, Dean. He's really a showman, and he had the crowd, I think, in the palm of his hand last night.
Yeah.
Dave was a little embarrassed, though, because when he did his Commodore set, he did Brickhouse. Dave thought it was about him, and he ran on stage.
Yeah. I thought it was about Jack Brickhouse.
I thought it was about Jack. I thought it was a sports song. Yeah. I was totally confused.
Ah, he's Jack Brickhouse. Hey, hey. Oh, that never get done.
He's mighty, mighty.
Brandmeier must have done that at some point, right? Oh. Come on. You can win free tickets from Dean Advanced Screening at Toy Story 4 and get the story on Three Generations of Shaft all morning long at Channel 9. How do we get those Toy Story tickets?
WGNTV.com/contests. Just enter the grand prize drawing. We're going to pick a bunch of winners at, I think, 12 o'clock. Yeah, 12 o'clock, 12 noon today.
All right. Sponsored by... Oh, did you see the Jon Stewart thing?
I did.
That's tremendous.
I did.
It's tremendous. Jon Stewart ripping Congress for not taking care of the first responders in 9/11.
That is a good American right there, Jon
must
Stewart.
Must see. Must see, must view.
Standing up for people who ran into buildings that were collapsing.
Yep.
And Congress doing nothing to help them back.
Sponsored by Ravinia. That's Dean. You, no, I'm Steve. That's Dave over there. We'll continue now.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, you know how this works now. You know, let's get a listener involved, too. 312-981-7200. Let's make this as complicated as possible. 312-981-7200. You have to pick three potential winners of the U.S. Open this weekend at Pebble Beach and the winning score. Yeah, and you listeners, you get paid off. Well, if you people work here, you get nothing, and you'll like it, or you'll sit in a car.
So you don't have to like it.
Three picks. Yeah, if you don't have to like it, you could be merry. Three picks plus the winning score. All right, let me look at the prize list here. What do you think, a MyPillow?
Nope. Golf foursome at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, an award-winning course.
Well, aren't they going to get tired after they play? They might need a MyPillow.
Nap in the car. You'll need one.
Learn more and book your tee time at dupagegolf.com.
Golf is so exciting, you'll need a pillow on the golf cart.
A golf foursome, Preserve of Oak Meadows, dupagegolf.com. All right. And then Joe will throw in other things, too, that I've forgotten. I'm sorry?
No, actually, I won't.
What is up? The listener gets the foursome. So obviously, you got to like golf if you're going to make this pick anyway. So you guys have set up a listener. Let's start with Ashley. Ashley's sitting in on the show this week with the band. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are
Weren't you
guys?
A high school athletic star?
I don't know if I was a star, but I was an athlete in high school.
What'd you play?
I played basketball and soccer.
No volleyball? You're tall.
I played volleyball like for fun, okay. Like rec leagues and stuff, but no.
What was your position in basketball?
In basketball, I was a power forward.
You see power forward with Ashley?
I would think so.
Yeah, she could woman up on anybody.
She's a four.
And what about soccer?
I was a goalie. So hand-eye coordination
tall.
Was my thing, yep.
Yeah? Break any fingers?
No fingers broken. I did break a collarbone once, so.
Do you ever give up an own goal?
Yeah.
Really? You know. Your fault or somebody else's?
A little bit of everybody's.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Three golfers plus the winning score. Who you got?
All right, so I got some notes here, and people are going to hate my picks because it's going to be like the top three players.
That's
but
right.
I got some things.
That's
so right. My third pick, not my first pick, Adam Scott. It's because he got beat by two strokes at the Memorial by Patrick Cantlay.
Wow,
so I think
impressive.
He's going to be coming in hungry.
It's not about him being cute, none of that?
Well, he is cute.
Okay.
An Australian. But
second pick.
Ignore it. So my second pick is going to be Dustin Johnson, and I was doing some research on his past experiences at Pebble Beach, and he won two AT&T Pebble Beach things in 2009 and 2010.
Look at this.
He's got some background there, so
okay.
I think he could have a good shot. But my number one pick is actually Brooks Koepka, because he's won back-to-back PGAs, and he's won the back-to-back U.S. Open. But when I was doing research on that, the grass over there, it's kind of his kryptonite. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Poana.
Poana.
Yeah.
Yeah, Poana, yeah.
But
he doesn't putt well on Poana.
Sounds like piranha.
Yeah.
There's no piranha, as far as we know. So, but he doesn't putt well on Poana.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I know. I did my research. I did some homework. I
well
went home
done.
And studied up.
Now
well
she'll done. Learn.
Yeah.
What's your winning score?
I don't know. Let's do like -8 or something.
Eight under?
Yeah.
8 under is not bad. It's a good pick. That's pretty impressive. Steve, follow that.
Steve, I'm going to shake it up a little bit because I go to my regular go-to guys here. In addition to Carl Spackler and Jack mm-hmm. Nicklaus, mm-hmm. I'm going to throw in Bob Barker this time.
Well, that's interesting, and that's because of the movie appearance?
Yeah, and -3, I'm going to say.
Okay, and the movie appearance was from Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, right.
One of the great fight scenes of all time.
It is, and I don't know how Bob survived that, but he did.
And they recreated it a couple of years ago, like as an online thing.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it didn't have the same impact.
No, I really didn't, because Bob was older then, and there were other people stunt fighting for him.
Yeah.
Mary Vanderbilt.
Oh, gosh. I was almost the same as Ashley's, but I got some secret help.
Okay.
So
who's your help from?
I'm not going to say.
There's someone that works here?
Maybe.
Someone who runs the place?
Formerly.
I'll just come out and say it's me.
I bet
right
it's Sandberg. Sandberg yeah, probably gave you help, right?
No, it wasn't Snow. She was too busy running around looking for your, you know, remote or whatever.
We should include Sandberg in this, too. Let's get as many people as we can in so we have no idea what we're doing.
Okay.
So Sandberg, will ask her about
her. Can we get her on the boss hotline? Just get her on the boss hotline.
Is your mom involved, too, today?
Yeah, I'm going to call my mom.
Okay.
She made her picks already.
You got my mom's picks?
No, Sandberg, actually.
Oh, you got them already?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what are they?
Xander? Yep.
She's changed since you joined management. Xander Schauffele.
Tiger and Jason Day with a score of -8.
Yeah, Jason Day has had a weird year. I don't like her picks. All right, moving on. Mary Vanderbilt.
Okay, I'm changing mine just because I don't want to be like, you know, exactly like Ashley. So I'm going with Brooks, though.
Brooks, okay.
I have to go with him.
Yeah.
Matt Kuchner. Kuchner.
Matt Kuchner.
Just call him Kuch.
Yeah. And I was going to go with Dustin Johnson, but doesn't he always screw up?
Yeah, he doesn't close well in majors, yeah, he but he's 1-1.
Okay, well, forget him then. Patrick Cantlay. I don't know who he is, but I'm going with him.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad pick.
Is he playing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And what's the winning score?
-6.
That's Dave.
My favorite number.
Your favorite number is -6?
No, 6. Positive.
Dave.
I don't have my supporting arguments ready like Ashley did, but I'll just give you the picks.
Okay.
Koepka.
Koepka.
Xander Schauffele.
Okay.
Tiger Woods and -5. And I'm really hesitant to put Tiger in there, but, you know, it's go win or go home. I mean, he's either going to miss the cut or he's going to win the thing, I think.
Jim Nance picked him back in January. And then he changed it to Phil.
Right.
So he picked Phil. Joe. Is it Joe or Jim? What do you go by?
Either or.
Okay, Joe.
I'm going to go with Brooks Koepka. Why not?
Okay.
My paisan, Francisco Molinari.
Molinari!
And my final pick is going to be Bryson DeChambeau.
Interesting collection there.
I think I picked him last time and I got nailed.
Score?
He got kicked out of the cut.
-11.
You don't get kicked out of the cut. You don't make the cut.
Okay.
There's no kicking out of the cut.
It's like survivor mode.
Michael.
Kicked him off the island.
Got kicked out of the cut. Michael.
So, yeah, I did some heavy research as well, just like Ashley and the rest of the team, and definitely did not pick these just because I enjoyed these names.
Okay.
I have J.B. Holmes.
Okay.
Bubba Watson. And Chun An Yu.
Bless you.
Nice.
Yes.
Is Bubba on the golf cart again?
No, that was John Daly.
Oh, that was John Daly. Is he playing?
John Daly is not playing. But if he was paying, they'd throw him off the cut or whatever you said a second ago. Michael, score.
I'm going to go -7.
-7. All right, I got Tiger, Phil, and Rory. How's that for chalk? Phil has never won a U.S. Open. He would complete the Grand Slam if he does. Rory won last week, and Tiger for obvious reasons. And I will go, Tiger won at 16 under back in 2000.
The record.
Yeah.
That was how many years ago?
2000.
19 years ago.
19 years ago.
Yep.
I'm going to go with -9. -9. And we'll get my mom's picks, John DeCosta's picks, but we've got a listener standing by. Norm is on the north side. Good morning, Norm.
Hey, good morning. Morning.
Where do you play your golf, Norm?
I play all over the city. You know, I'll try to sneak in 9 holes at Billy Caldwell, you know, close to the house.
Good.
That way I won't get in trouble at home.
Responsible guy. Who are your picks?
All right, let's go with Koepka.
Mm-hmm.
Rory and Tiger.
Koepka, Rory, and Tiger. Winning score?
So, 7, under.
-7.
Well,
you're a golfer, man. I can tell. I hope no one throws you off the cut. What did you say, Mary? Throw you off the cut?
Oh, kicked off the cut.
Kicked off the cut, yeah. I got a foursome for you at the Preserve at Oak Meadows. You and three of your pals. Book your tee times in general at dupagegolf.com. Enjoy that.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll call you back Monday after you beat us. All right. It is 8:56, and we continue. Lindsay Ennett, by the way, Dave, is waiting in the PPG Paints green room.
I guess I should probably go down and see her.
Say hi to your daughter. And we will have Lindsay on here in a few minutes to talk about something she spends the entire year working on, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Ribfest Chicago. Ashley was just researching the music that's going to be going on there. You said Billy Idol's going to be there? Is that right?
I don't think that's...
Is that not right?
That might be Naperville.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
We don't talk about it?
No, even though Steve lives there.
Naperville's Ribfest got kicked out of their location. It's like the last year.
Isn't it not missing the cut?
got kicked out of the cut. Actually, that is this weekend, isn't it?
There's a big difference between Chicago and Naperville. It's about 45 miles. So I think the two don't necessarily compete. But what's the city music lineup?
Oh, I bet our guest will tell us.
You think Lindsay will know?
I bet she'll know.
Okay. I mean, if you want to risk it, if you think she'll know her stuff, she'll be in here in just a few minutes. Do we need another break before the news? Let's do that first, then we'll come back and get the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
We continue. Hi to everybody on CLTV. Dave, you want to introduce the next guest?
Well, we just met in the PPG Payne's green room. We happen to share the same last name because she's my daughter. And it's
odd that you just would have met. I would have think you would have known her for a long time.
No, I do know her. Lindsay Ennett, she is the executive director of the North Center Chamber of Commerce, which has a big, is that right? Is
yes,
that your right
that's
title?
Correct.
And they have a big event coming up this weekend, Steve.
The biggest. Hey, what happened? We used to do the show from there. How come we're not doing that anymore?
Well, I'd be happy to talk to my team and see.
Yeah, let's get that done for next year.
Team out there for Ribfest Chicago.
Yeah, we got to come back. All right, so Lindsay, explain what happens during Ribfest. Vicious competition amongst rib makers, right?
It's true. At Ribfest Chicago 2019, we will have 14 incredible rib vendors. We have one of them in the studio today, City Barbecue. You're looking at St. Louis style competition quality ribs. Right here.
Barbecued mac and cheese?
Well, we're not smoking it yet, but that's an idea.
Yeah, it's a pain when it falls between the grill grates. What's your name?
My name's Clint.
I just walked in, Clint. I apologize. I'm new to the show. City Barbecue, how long have you been cooking?
Well, we've been cooking for 20-plus years as a company, and we've been in Chicago now for two.
Why are you guys the best?
Don't
be modest.
We pour everything we have into it, you know, so we're smoking it day in and day out, constantly throughout the day, and we really specialize in focusing on the competition quality, as Lindsay mentioned, and we're excited to be a part of Ribfest.
Are you trained in this, or did you come upon it a different way?
Well, I've been in the business for 20-plus years as well,
okay.
But we do get vigorous training, and barbecue is, you're constantly learning, because you have to continue to improve and be ready to compete.
But there's no new technology in meat, is there?
Not too much.
So it's little tweaks here and there about how you do stuff.
Yeah, tweaks, and then internally. You have to become wise in the practice.
You think he knows about the grill, Daddy?
I have a hunch they find ways to clean the grill themselves.
How about a pro tip? How do you clean your grill?
Pro tips, elbow grease. That's probably the best way. We use a pressure washer, too. So those are two best ways to get our smokers clean.
Maybe that's what I need.
Now, do you know about the Grill Daddy?
I'm not familiar.
The
no.
Grill Daddy is Dave's greatest joy outside of his daughter, Lindsay. The Grill Daddy is filled with water.
You fill it with water.
And?
It's steel brush. You fill it with water, and then it spurts out the water on the hot grill.
Mm-hmm.
So which turns to steam, and it kind of steam cleans your grill as you go.
It's kind of a combination then of
yes.
pressure washer
yeah.
and elbow grease.
It does
like
sound
it.
As good as your pressure washer. I think I have to get one of those.
Well, his grill's a little bigger than ours anyway.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Ashley, you a big fan of barbecue?
I am. I love barbecue. I randomly get cravings when I'm just chilling at home, and I'm mm-hmm. like, there's actually a City Barbecue over where I live, so we head over there from time to time and grab some grub.
Now, Lindsay, where's this barbecue you brought in for us?
It's right over here next to Clint, uh-huh. and there will be plenty for everybody.
All right, so Ashley, would you mind being our test eater?
Oh, I got you.
Okay. Ashley will eat and tell us what this is and how good it is. What are we going to start with?
This is our St. Louis cut ribs for the competition.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. You chew for a second while Lindsay tells me more. You got Austin, Texas Lightning, Bay City Barbecue, Barbecue King Smokehouse. I mean, the list is long. Famous Dave's will be there.
Yes, we have, like I said, 14 rib vendors this year at Rib Fest Chicago. We also have a number of non-rib vendors for if you're looking for something other than barbecue. It's Father's Day weekend. What better gift to bring Dad than to take him to
right.
a fabulous festival with great music, great food.
And you know how good this is? Your dad even eats ribs on this weekend.
He does.
How can I not?
Right?
I mean, out of loyalty to my daughter, although she did not take up my suggestion to set up a kale booth, but one of these
well, that's because she would like people to attend.
Maybe that's it.
Also, a great music lineup.
Yes. We have 21 bands.
21 bands?
Yes. So we have an excellent music lineup. We also have family entertainment on the main stages Saturday and Sunday from noon to 2. Incredible lineup. Post Animal, who are a Chicago band, closes us out on Sunday night. I'm also very excited for The Dip on Saturday night. They're kind of an R&B Motown. They've gotten compared to Booker T and the MGs.
Oh, no kidding.
And,
yeah, that's
there
my,
you go.
That's my people.
Say.
So it's a very eclectic lineup. We have Chris Stone Kingfish Ingram, who is a from Clarksdale, Mississippi. He's an incredible gifted. He's only 20 years old. An incredible gifted blues guitarist.
So you have to know all these bands to book these bands, right?
We work with an excellent event team who books the bands. We really try to.
So you didn't have to go on scouting missions on every bar in Chicago to from Chicago to Memphis and back?
I would be more than happy to if they paid me to do
really
that.
Did. Not really, Dave. No. But it's a great event, and as I said, we've done the show live from there before. What's the website for all this stuff, information-wise?
It's ribfest-chicago.com. We're still selling VIP passes.
What do you get for those?
So for the there's 1-day and 3-day options, and for those you get set amount of food and drink tickets. You can also skip the line with the Tide Cleaners Fast Pass. Skip the beverage line. It includes your gate contribution and a lovely seating, a lovely dining lounge with seating, shade. You can charge your phone. Mm-hmm. There is a luxury restroom trailer. And
Yes, I've seen that. That's actually very nice.
Let me tell you something. Any festival in Chicago, if you have a luxury restroom trailer, yes, that's a hook. All right, let's go back to Ashley now. She's just finished a rib. What'd you think?
It was really good, very flavorful. You know, very
is it tender. Good enough for you to go spend money at the City Barbecue next to your place?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. You've converted another customer, man, just like that.
Outstanding.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so take me through a couple of tips on how we could actually cook, not as good as you, but we could increase our barbecue skills and maybe do a little something special at home.
Well, you know, it's kind of a cliche, but low and slow is going to be your best bet. You know, a lot of recipes, if you look at them online, they're going to lead you a little too high a temp for the cook and too short a time. So slow it down, lower that temp, and just be patient.
Do you need a smoker or can you use a regular grill?
You can use a regular grill, definitely.
Is it harder? I mean,
even the it is a little harder to maintain that temp. Those smokers tend to just hold temp a lot better, especially the ceramics and those type. They're going to maintain that heat.
But if you got a good quality Weber or whatever the case may be, you ought to be able to do it as well.
Correct.
Yeah. All right, so Dave, write this down. This is how you make pork ribs. What are we doing? When are we putting the rack on there?
When are you putting them
on? Yeah, like you put it in the morning, let them sit and smoke all day?
No, you know, for something what we would refer to kind of as a small meat there, it's 2.5 to 3 hours.
Okay.
It should be your cook time to get that proper breakdown.
And temperature?
For that rib. Temperature anywhere from, you know, 250 to 275.
And peak it at 275.
Mm-hmm.
The 275 is your high end.
Mm-hmm.
And you're good for 2 or 3 hours. What's finishing temp going to be on the meat?
We don't temp ribs other than from a food safety standpoint.
Right.
So it's going to be more the feel.
Feel and cut into them, take a look at them?
Feel, and you want it to have a little bit. You don't want it to fall off the bone. So not from a competition standpoint. You want a good bite on it.
And the food safety standpoint is like 165.
165. So we certainly will temp for that, especially all weekend at our festival and in the joint. But right now, you know, really it's just for that touch, for the proper.
Don't you have any hard-hitting questions to grill your daughter on?
Well, I was going to ask Clint, don't you guys, I mean, if let's say another rib vendor runs out of something. Do you guys help each other out, or is it just cutthroat?
Oh, professional rib courtesy.
Yeah.
Everyone will be challenged to have the right amount of product this week.
Good for you, Clint.
Hey, it's good.
Yeah, don't be coming over to me asking for something.
Yes.
And guests at RibFest Chicago will be able to vote for their favorite ribs. We have a People's Choice Award every year, as well as a Judge's Choice. We have some celebrity judges coming in.
Who's coming in? Who are your celebrity judges?
We got Patty Vasquez.
She's really good.
WGN Zone.
Yeah, she's
good. Have Aaron Wright of the Chicago Red Stars.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, we have Max Jenkins from TV's Lost in Space.
That's tremendous. Any other radio creeps coming in that aren't as
Not
good
Dave?
As Patty?
No, I'll be on a plane, actually, on Sunday when they do the judging.
And who's the defending champ?
Defending champ for Judge's Choice is Chicago Barbecue Company. Defending champ for People's Choice is Austin's Texas Lightning.
Okay. I don't trust a place called Texas Lightning in the middle of Chicago. Am I wrong?
I haven't had the ribs. Oh, okay. I don't know. What about kids?
Kids, we've got...
You should not barbecue kids. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Oh, Steve.
That was really well done, Les.
That was well done. Yeah.
We do have our Kids Square area set up again this year. We'll have inflatables, games, activities, and as I mentioned before, we'll have family entertainment on the main stages on Saturday and Sunday this weekend from noon to 2.
You know, really... That whole area, it's along Lincoln Avenue from just north of Irving Park. It just smells great.
It smells amazing.
It really is amazing.
Tickets available on either end, right?
Yes, that's correct. We also have ticket packages available at ribfest-chicago.com.
Just print them at home, bring them in?
Well, it's a will-call situation, okay. But you can save a little money by purchasing in advance. And it's on Lincoln Avenue between Irving Park Road and Berteaux. And as a reminder, any donation you give at the gate, any dollars you spend at the festival at RibFest Chicago are going right back into the amazing North Center community. You're supporting our local schools, our food pantries, organizations
that great neighborhood.
empower youth,
yeah.
Support youth sports, provide social services, and RibFest Chicago has reinvested more than $350,000 back into our local schools and
good
for you.
That's great. It's a good story.
We're incredibly proud of that.
As you should be. You might remember, Dave, a few years ago, Kevin Powell, who I think was on this show then, sent him
out. Was he on this show?
He was, yeah, before he left me like the traitor that he is. But we sent him over there, and I believe you've banned him now, like I'm drunk at a bar that's had too much. You said you've had too many. Get out. Isn't that right?
I don't think it's possible to be over. I've never seen anyone be over-served in terms of barbecue at RibFest.
I'm certainly willing to
try. Kevin definitely pressed our limits.
Yeah, Steve, you're close to this, aren't you?
I'm certainly willing to try to be over-served by barbecue. Yeah.
We got to get Grzanich over there. Give us a Monday review as well. And Ashley, you thumbs up, right, on City Barbecue?
Oh, yeah, two thumbs up.
All right, both of them. And all right, final word, website one more time.
RibFest-Chicago.com, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday 5 to 10, Saturday, Sunday, noon to 10, Lincoln Avenue between Irving Park Road and Berteaux. We hope to see you. Bring Dad.
It's a great Father's
Day. Enjoy Father's Day weekend, and come on and join us at RibFest Chicago.
I think the weather's going to be good, too. I'm counting on it. I'm calling Skilling.
I think so.
Yes. Yep.
And Clint, I'm going to go see you for something called Double Smoke Brisket Tacos, which was my name when I danced, Dave. I don't know if you remember that.
I thought it was a band you were in. I can't keep them straight.
That's ridiculous. It sounds like a great menu.
Yes.
We're going to come see you.
Yeah, very good.
Excellent. Ashley, you keep eating.
I will.
Because I know we're not paying you
don't
much.
Don't got to tell me twice.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for having us, Steve.
Look, we all have our certain proclivities. We all have things that maybe we're more interested in than others. In college, it's expensive. Sometimes working at a local restaurant isn't going to get it done. Abby Haywood is a Fine Art Foundation student at Leeds Art University. She makes a handsome wage by sneezing. She's making hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars by having men pay for the privilege of watching her sneeze online. Abby started selling sneezing videos just this January. By March, she had made about $750, but then things really took off, and now she is making hundreds and hundreds, again, if not thousands, of dollars by sneezing online. So, you know, spring being allergy season, that's like Christmas. Average videos cost about $30, but the sneezer can make over $100 for a custom video. Abby's a sneezing pro. She has a tool that she puts up her nose to stimulate sneezing. And soon enough, she's swimming in cash. She sneezed as much as 11 times in 5 minutes. In another one, she sneezed 37 times in 3 hours. And she continues to make money from this. Ladies and gentlemen, Abby, the Sneeze Queen.
And we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us.
I'm just, I don't know why. Let me be your ruler. I'm trying, you know, even in the deepest, darkest recesses of my twisted mind, I can't figure out why that's a turn on.
No, I can't either.
Well, you know.
We got to think of some talent we can do that, you know.
That we can put online and sell to perverts.
What about just video of us sitting and eating ribs?
That's
you know what? There's probably a market for that.
Because you got some finger licking going on.
It would work.
Some lip licking.
Yeah, there you go. Ooh, hot. There's a story this morning. I haven't had time to get to this yet, but I'd be curious from a scientific standpoint if anybody has any opinions. A severed head of a wolf estimated to have died between 30,000 and 40,000 years ago has been found in eastern Siberia. Local resident Pavel Ivamov found the incredibly well-preserved head of the world's first full-sized Pleistocene wolf in the permafrost near a river in a district located north of a place called Yukatia. That's a city in the far northern part of Siberia. Because of the beast's fur and fangs are still intact, researchers at the University of Sweden were able to analyze the tissue from the wolf, something that's usually not preserved in a fossil record, and therefore they've been able to determine that the wolf is between 30 and 40,000 years old.
Well, that's a cool story.
From the teeth and the fur, how do they date the wolf?
Well, they cut open the teeth, so they cut the tooth in half, and they see if there's any of that pulp inside of it, and that's the soft
or fluoride.
Yeah, it's the soft tissue that they can carbon date. So what they do is then put that in the old carbon dater, and they can tell when it was hit with atoms. I think you know that's they can tell how long ago it was created, I think.
And how cold is it in northern Siberia that you could preserve a wolf head for 40,000 years?
It's pretty cold. You know, they it's so cold, and there are actually places where the ice, the permafrost, is thawing, and bacteria from the ground is actually seeping out, and people are concerned that we might see viruses and other things that have been dormant for thousands of years being leaked back out into the atmosphere. So, I mean, it gets pretty cold there. You don't see the ground for a long time.
And what are we exactly going to do with this wolf's head? I don't quite understand.
Well, it's a cool conversation piece.
Right. I mean, where are we going to put it? In a museum?
Yeah, right.
I guess with his carbonated teeth, or what did you call him?
And then carbon dated.
Carbonated. Carbonated would be something else.
And then my question is, how did the head get severed? Was it cut? Did somebody cut it off? Was it a human, another human that cut it off?
Must have been, right? Well, with your standard wolf cutter.
Maybe something bit it off? I don't know.
The standard wolf head is between 9 and 11 inches long. This specimen is almost 16 inches long.
Wow.
That's a big wolf.
That is a big wolf. That's a werewolf.
A unique discovery of the first ever remains of a fully grown Pleistocene wolf. And Dave, to complete the circle, I was in a band called Pleistocene Wolf.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's where your confusion came up. You've been listening to Science Corner. We'll come back in just a moment. Steve Sands from the Golf Channel is going to join us here in a little bit. Dave?
The Bears holding minicamp have released one of the candidates vying to replace kicker Cody Parkey, Chris Blewett, one of the three kickers who missed a field goal try in rapid succession in practice yesterday. Blewett is gone.
It seems redundant. Doesn't it say that Blewett is gone?
Yeah, it. Yeah.
I'm disappointed.
I know you are.
Year's worth of material gone in one missed
kick. I know,
kick.
And I so wanted to break it to you gently, but there's just no way around
and
it.
And he's really been kicked out.
You see what blew happened? It!
See what happened there?
Yeah.
What about Bobby He Sucks? Is he still there?
No, but he's getting a free agent tryout, so we'll see. And he hollers.
Haha, Clinton Dix?
Well, no, he's there. He's there.
I think all Bears should have silly nicknames.
Johnny Slippenfell.
That's a good one.
But we don't know about Johnny Slippenfell.
Or Slip and Slide.
No.
Sorry.
But I'll get an update from Adam Hogan. Hallis Hall.
Henry, he hit the post?
You know, It's funny you mentioned that because I actually did one of his games in college.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, you know everybody.
He hit the post.
You know everybody. Who are you?
Dave Edditt, WGN Sports.
You blew it!
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Four!
Straight down the middle. It went straight down the middle. Then it started to hook.
A lot of people think that's Bing Crosby. That's actually me.
That's when my caddy lost.
You didn't know that, Dave?
That little I'm pretty sure it was Bing Crosby. It
probably was Bing. 941. I think on the top 100 list of places you can play, the best courses in the world, Pebble Beach is the only public track. I think that's right. Maybe Beth Page is on there. But anyway, point being, if you love golf like I do, it's got to be on your bucket list. I've been lucky to be there, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 times.
You've played, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I've told the story before, but at one point, you know, the Walrus, Craig Stanley.
Right.
I was putting out on 18, the waves crashing in, but it was silent for a moment, and I was about to hit a 5-footer after an 82, which on Pebble Beach is really good for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And someone from the deck of their place that they were staying at the Pebble Beach Inn shouted, "Miss it, Walrus!"
I love that.
I pulled it left. Steve Sands was not there to call it, thank God. But Steve Sands, and I mean this, Steve, I'm such a big Steve Sands fan. I think he's the best thing on golf on TV. How's that for an introduction?
Wow. Are you saying you choked when that guy yelled at?
Yeah. Well, he yelled, "Miss it, Walrus." You know, if he said, "Miss it, Brad Pitt," maybe I would have taken it better.
That's fantastic. By the way, public would be in quotations in the top 100. It's $550 to play here.
Is that what
That's
it is
a
now?
Lot of money. So I wouldn't say that everyone has the opportunity to play Pebble Beach. But I guess technically they do.
And Dave, didn't we look at availability like from now till October or something? There's like a foursome at 4 a.m. Yeah. or something.
Yeah, the times were limited.
Full. Yeah, there's a tee time in January of 23 at 6:35 for you.
Yeah.
Starting on 10. There you go.
What's different about
how you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great, man. Thank you for doing this. And
absolutely, anytime.
What is the what's different about the golf course in 2000 when Tiger threw up a 16 under? What have they changed?
Well, there have been a lot of changes design wise, just because over time in this sport you have to make changes or else you'll be back in the Stone Age and people will just crush it. The challenging thing about this week that's fascinating for people in this sport is that every year everybody sees the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am in February, and now they're playing a U.S. Open here this year. And when they change the golf course, what they do is they grow the rough really high, they make the greens really firm and fast, the fairways a little more narrow. So it plays completely different. Also, this week there'll be no rain. There's never rain for the most part in June in coastal California, whereas in February it's always freezing and it's rain going sideways, that kind of thing. But the golf course will play much more difficult. And back in 2000, when Tiger was 12 under par, won by 15 shots, which I think is the greatest feat in the history of the sport, he won by 15 shots at the U.S. Open. The golf course is not as pristine as it is now. The golf course is in great, great shape. It's really green, firm and fast. It's going to be really, really good. You guys are going to love watching it.
Now, there's been a lot of heat by everybody from Grandpa Phil, all the way down through the top players, the A players in the game who feel they can, you know, give their opinion. They've been hammering on the USGA. They said, look, stop making it ridiculous. Are they whining or they have a point?
No, they have a point. When you go to Shinnecock like you did last year and you see the best players in the world putting from 8 feet and then the ball is going off the green, something must be wrong. The USGA, I think, has it dialed in this week where they're going to take their foot off the gas and let these guys play. What they like to do this week, every year at the U.S. Open, is play to par. They don't want anybody getting to 12 or 14 under par. Phil Mickelson won here in February. He was 12 under par, the PGA Tour event that finished on a Monday when he beat Paul Casey. He was well under par. They don't want that this week. So what they've done in the past is kind of tricked up the golf course a little bit. You can't do that this week. It's Pebble Beach. Leave it alone. The aesthetics are beautiful. The country wants to watch a good U.S. Open at a great, great venue, and I think they're going to leave it alone. The guys are not whining. The guys are being honest, and good for them for saying it out loud.
And without the rain, you're thinking, well, the weather's going to be fine. But Tom Kite won his only major back in the 90s, and the wind was subtly blowing east to west at about 1,000 miles an hour. Right. Is it going to be windy?
No, it's not going to be windy. And I think if it doesn't get windy, I think these guys are going to go under par, and I think the USGA is going to have to be okay with that. If somebody's leading after, say, Friday, after the cut is made, and the lead is 5, 6, 7 under par, they need to make sure they leave this golf course alone and continue on the path that they're on right now. But those wins that Tom Kite had in 92 that were so insane, you're not going to have that this week. At least that's not forecast this week.
I know everyone is going to look at Koepka after having won the last two U.S. Opens, Steve, and you've got, of course, DJ, who's won a couple times in the AT&T, but how do you look at who might also get in the mix at the top of this thing? Anybody who we might not be thinking about or might not expect?
Yeah, I think this is different than, say, the PGA Championship last month, at Bethpage Black on Long Island. That was a bomber's paradise. That was a Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, you know, one of those guys who just mashes the ball. Precision is going to matter here this week. I think a guy like, you know, going off the board like a Kevin Na, who won recently on the PGA Tour, a Brant Snedeker, who has won here before. I think he's been putting much better, so maybe Jordan Spieth could get his way around here like he did at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am a few years ago. I think that it doesn't necessarily take someone who destroys a golf ball off the tee to win here. It's less than 7,000 yards. It's not one of these crazy ballparks that's so big. It's not like going to Medina, like when we go see you guys right in a couple of months in August for the BMW Championship. It's precision will matter most here. So if you're going to go off the board, I think it won't be one of those guys. I think it's going to be one or the other. It's going to be someone who, not bunting is the wrong way to put it, because none of these guys hit it a short ways. But some of those guys who do hit it shorter than the others will have a chance this week, where at Bethpage Black last month at the PGA Championship, they had no chance. It was going to be a bomber. This week it doesn't have to be a bomber. You've got to play from the fairway this week. If you're in the rough this week, you are dead.
Tiger wins the Masters. He's very tired, and he's, you know, he's old like me. I'm 42 at Bethpage. This is an easier walk, and for folks that don't play golf, that don't understand the difference, it's a big deal. So he's had plenty of time to feel good physically again. Does he? And, you know, the romantic pick is Tiger, and should we be picking him?
Did you say you're 42?
Plus 16.
Well, plus 16. So you're 58?
Yeah,
58. That's not old, man. Come on. That's not old.
I know. No, I'm just getting
started. You choked like a dog at Pebble. That's not old. That's
I was 42 then. I'm just getting started. Okay. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So what do you want to know? Tiger?
Tiger. Is it just a romantic pick, or is he the guy?
Well, here's the thing. This week is different than Bethpage. When he played at Bethpage, it was as if he was taking a victory lap from his win at the Masters.
Yeah.
He didn't play a PGA Tour event. He was going to play the Wells Fargo Championship in Charlotte, ended up not playing. I didn't think he had a chance at Bethpage. He goes to the Memorial a couple of weeks ago, plays decent, finishes in the top 10, didn't really contend, but finished in the top 10, played very well on Sunday. I think that bodes well for him this week. I think that you don't have to hit driver here, and he doesn't have to spray his driver all over the ballpark. If you spray it here, you're dead. You have no chance.
Mm-hmm.
So he can iron you to death, and I still think he's the best iron player on the planet. And the greens here are super small. So if you're a dialed-in iron player, which Tiger is, you're going to hit more greens than most guys, and you're going to give yourself opportunities, because when you hit the greens, because they're so small, you have relatively good chances at birdie almost every time you hit the green, because you just don't have a lot of lengthy putts here at Pebble Beach. So do I think he's going to win? No. But I do think he's going to play okay, and he's going to give himself perhaps a chance over the weekend.
Steve Sands, the NBC Sports family of golf coverage, U.S. Open, one of the best weeks of the year. And the other, on the Steve Cochran Show here, as we continue, the other romantic pick is Phil. You know, he's 48, 49 years old. You talked about him winning a few months ago. It's a different golf course to a large degree now, as you described. Is Phil going to win this weekend?
Well, how about this for some synergy? So he wins in February. He won the PGA Tour event here in February for the fifth time. So you know he loves the golf course. He's been a runner-up at the U.S. Open six times.
Right.
Only five players have ever won the career Grand Slam. The only thing missing on his resume is this week. It's his home state. It's Father's Day on Sunday. It's his 49th birthday on Sunday. And he's coming off of that win in February here at Pebble Beach. If he plays from the fairway, I think Phil absolutely has a chance to win. His biggest issue is that, unlike in February when he won here for the fifth time, you can't just bomb it and go find it and hack it out. Here this week, if you're playing from the rough, like I've said repeatedly, you will not be able to get enough chances to score to give yourself a chance on Sunday to win. So if he can somehow dial it back just a little bit and not try to just pound it and overpower the golf course like you can do at the PGA Tour event in February, then I think he's got a chance. But he's got to fight that urge to just take the driver out and just try blistering the golf course, because he won't find enough fairways that way, and he won't give himself as many opportunities as you need to have here on these greens to score.
The other A player that's got to be discussed is Brooks Koepka. Of course, Steve Sands, you and I both know he's not a human being. He's a cyborg from some distant planet. Because of his square jaw, his striking good looks, and the fact that nobody seems to pay attention to him, but he's killed before, it'll kill again. You know he's going to be on the game this weekend. What's he going to do?
I love that whenever anybody describes him, the striking good looks is always part of his whole deal.
It's fantastic. Once again, it's bitterness on my part.
It's all right. He's a machine, and everybody likes him, men and women. I mean, it's just everybody loves the guy because he's so great. Four major wins in his last eight major championship starts. Brooks Koepka.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
It's nuts. It's completely bananas what he's done in the last couple of years. It's weird. He's got a weird deal here. He doesn't play here regularly each and every February on the PGA Tour. He's only played here once. He doesn't love putting Poana greens, not to get too intricate with the audience, but that's the type of grass they have here at Pebble. The ball kind of wobbles a little bit. Think of like Plinko, and think of how the ball rolls are in Plinko. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's going to win this week.
Okay.
But is that like an old 58-year-old Plinko reference? Is that like too old?
I got to tell you, that's the only Plinko reference we've ever had on this radio station. The radio station's 90 years old.
Listen, you can't imagine how honored I am to be on WGN, how much time I've spent. I'm not kidding you, seriously. Look, you can never, ever count at it. I agree with you. He's a robot, and by the way, he's a great kid. Insightful, smart, fun to be around. But when he plays and when he's performing, he is an assassin out there. And I just don't know if this is his week. The last time somebody won three U.S. Opens in a row was Willie Anderson. That was more than 100 years ago.
Yeah, how about that?
I mean, that's ridiculous. He's a two-time defending champion. And he doesn't love playing this kind of golf course. I just don't see how it's his week. But listen, when he plays, if he plays well, that's the end. He closes the door, man. It's amazing watching him play under pressure. So it wouldn't shock me. I just don't think it's going to happen.
And how many times have you and I looked at him and went, he's got so much Willie Anderson in him.
Amazing. And here I thought Willie Anderson was like an off guard for the University of Georgia basketball team in the 80s. Willie Anderson played for the Bears, didn't he? Wasn't there a Willie Anderson for the Bears?
Oh, there had to be.
I think there was.
There had to be. Give me
you got to ask my man Larry Holm from Chicago about that.
Real quick, give me a sleeper.
Well, I told you Brant Snedeker, Kevin Na. Those are my two sleepers. I think Dustin Johnson's going to win. He's won twice at Pebble Beach on the PGA Tour, and he also had a three-shot lead and should have won, really should have won, in 2010 at the U.S. Open when it was last played here, when Graham McDowell won. It was the first time he'd ever led in a major. You know, he threw up all over himself, shot at 82. It was terrible. But I think it's going to be Dustin Johnson's week. But if I was going sleeper, I would go Snedeker or Kevin Na.
Steve Sands, great to have you on, man. I'm a big fan, and I really appreciate you coming on.
You're very kind. Looking forward to seeing you guys at the BMW Championship in August. It's going to be a lot of fun to get back to Chicago.
Yeah, well, you come on in and see us then, too. Just tell NBC you're busy.
Yeah. That'd be great. Right. Now, give me the invite. I'm coming in.
That's it. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Steve.
That's Steve Sands. And my friend Kurt Byram says Sands is, $20 short. He owes him money. No, it's not true. We'll come back in just a moment. What's up at 10?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Bill and Wendy will join us in just a second. We got one more break to take care of, and then Steve Bertrand will be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And that's next. Back tomorrow. We got a bunch of politics to talk about on Thursday, as always. Chuck Todd will not be available tomorrow. He's actually in town, but he'll be on a plane tomorrow during the show when he's normally on. And later today, Rick Pearson will be appearing on MSNBC with Chuck for MTP Daily. And Chuck has asked me to come over and do his podcast.
Oh, how nice.
The Chuck Toddcast is the name.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So we'll tape that today. And, I don't know. I'll tell you when it's going to be available.
All right. That'll be fun.
What's on your show today?
Well, we don't know, because Wendy and I got kicked off the cut. Did you hear about this? We just found out this morning. We've both been kicked off the cut.
No, that was blew it or blow it.
My favorite part of saying kicked off the cut, which is not a golf term, is how sure she was right.
That was the best part of it.
Yeah. I love it.
She was by positive. Far.
Yeah.
Why isn't that a golf term? It sounds like it's a golf term.
Kicked off the cut's better than missed the cut.
Way better.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sounds more dangerous.
Yeah.
But that would be a good thing to be kicked off the cut, because then you would make the cut, right?
See, now you're making it more complicated. Yeah,
I don't
know. It's a double negative cut.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we'll be back tomorrow and we'll explain all this. Don't you have a comic on the show today?
Jimmy Crane, comedian, actor.
Jimmy Crack Crane.
Jimmy Crack Crane, and I know you don't care,
and I don't care,
but other people care.
Yeah.
And then Dr. John Duffy will also be on.
Ah, good call, because we all need a little therapy, don't we?
Yep.
See you tomorrow.